All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome into Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Welcome into a playoff edition of Daily Faceoff Live. We are streaming live on the Daily Faceoff YouTube, and we are thrilled to have Bet365 as our partner for the playoffs. We'll be here with Bet365 all postseason to give you the news, analysis, lines, and betting options until one team is left standing at the end of June. I'm Tyler Rumchuk. He is Frank Saravalli. And Frank, another team's been eliminated from the playoffs. And I think we're going to start out there. My neck of the woods. Edmonton was rocking last night, Frank, as I'm sure you can imagine.
Yeah, except for those sphincter tightening moments there in the last 2-3 minutes. I mean, aside from that, everything was good.
Yeah, there was some really wild moments in that hockey game. You had Riddick robbing Draisaitl, and then it turns out he didn't rob Draisaitl. It was in. You had a puck hitting a stanchion or a camera hole and bouncing right to the Kings. It was a wild one in Edmonton. So let's start there. It was part three in round one between the Oilers and Kings, and the Oilers came away once again with a win. Year one, it was a 7-gamer. Year two, it was 6. This year, it took just 5 games for the Oilers to move past their Pacific Division rivals. And Frank, when you look at the differences in this series, it really came down to high-end skill. One team's power play ran at 45%. One team has Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. The other team just couldn't keep up.
Clearly outclassed the LA Kings. That is one part of this equation. And the other part is the Edmonton Oilers, you can tell, really learned something. You listen to Leon Draisaitl after the game talking about the maturity that this team has shown. They've shown it all year. They could have buckled and rolled over and had this be one of the darkest seasons in franchise history with the way they started this year. As Connor McDavid has used the phrase, they came back from the dead. They're stronger for it. And more than that, they're showing us in this first round series that they're learning lessons. 7 games 2 years ago, 6 games last year, 5 games this year. And it wasn't just the number of games. It was game to game fixing the mistakes that you make. Game one, you show that you're on another level. Game two, you have a bit of a hiccup because you don't bring the same juice. And of course, LA ramps it up a little bit in game two. Game three, you take it again to another level. Game four, you need to learn how to win a different way with Stuart Skinner bailing you out, playing great in net, building up his confidence. And game five, you bend, certainly in the last few minutes, and you don't break. I see lots of positive signs moving forward for Edmonton. Not only does this route to the Stanley Cup final or the Western Conference final set up nicely for them in terms of opponents, it was never going to get easier than the LA Kings. but you have to take care of business and you have to try and make the series as short as possible. And they accomplished that on all fronts. May not have been pretty at every moment, but they really showed me a lot in this first round series.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, again, I talked about the power play, 45%. The PK for the Oilers was outstanding in that series, 100%. It's the first time in franchise history they've gone an entire playoff series without allowing a power play goal. But I also thought some of the depth on Edmonton looked really good as well. I think that third line centered by Ryan McLeod, they didn't get any offense going, but they didn't allow a lot of offense in that game. And I think when you're looking at what you need from sort of the bottom six for the Oilers, you want energy and you want no mistakes. And that's exactly what they got from it. Stuart Skinner, solid 9-10 save percentage, and also a bunch of goals in that series that just flat out were bad luck. He had two in game one go in off his defenseman's skate. He had one yesterday that, again, bounced off a stanchion and went right in front. Like, 9-10 and a 259 are good numbers, but he was better than these numbers suggest. And I think that's a massive thing for the Oilers as they head into round two.
Yeah, I mean, I'll agree to a certain extent. I know that the Kings didn't get nearly as much rubber, but when you come through the first two games with an 857, first off, it shows how much better he played in the last three. But they don't really ask how in terms of the weirdness. They just ask what went behind you. And that's the thing. Same thing with the Kings. There was some belly aching and bitching about the officiating. You lost the series 4-1. It was five games. I can tell you for certain that officiating had a 0.0% impact on who the winner of this series was.
Yeah, absolutely. Just quickly, maybe in 60 seconds, where do the LA Kings go from here? Is this a team that just, you know, $20 million in cap space, you go get a goalie, try to add another impact piece and run it back next year?
No, I think you have some real fundamental questions. I think they've had some significant roster construction and asset management mistakes that they've made. The Pierre-Luc Dubois trade and then subsequent contract that came on the back of that looms large. This is a player that seemed to be non-competitive for the Kings, was only noticeable in bad ways, and now has 7 years left, excuse me, to go on this deal that I think when you look at his body of work so far this season and the vocal criticism that he received from teammates, this is a guy that you have to consider buying out. More than that, what about the rest of the team? How do you find a way to get yourself into the echelon or tier that Edmonton, Vegas, and you watch Vancouver come from behind and pass you this year? That's a significant issue for the Kings moving forward. I think everything should be on the table, not just finding a new head coach with interim Jim Hiller, but also really examining the general manager position and the work that Rob Blake's done.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. By the way, if they were to buy out Pierre-Luc Dubois, just looking at cap friendly right now, it would be dead cap space for 14 seasons, but it would come with savings of 6.89 this year and 6.9 the year after. I mean, it's savings for the next 7 years, which you could look at it as a positive, I guess, as well.
More than that, it's a $31 million real cash savings on a player that you think doesn't work, or I think doesn't work.
Yeah, that's fair. The other game last night, Frank saw the Dallas Stars win their third consecutive game in the series as they take down the Vegas Golden Knights. Finally, a home team has won in this series. Jake Oettinger, stellar. And yesterday, we kicked off the show with Ken Bohlke talking about how the Golden Knights were in panic mode, seemingly. They're going to Aiden Hill. They got a new top line. They're playing guys in spots they haven't really played in all year. And when I watched that game last night, it's, you know, the panic mode, the moves they made, they didn't work, but they also didn't not work in a weird way. That felt like just a carbon copy of what we saw in game four.
Yeah, and what I would say is the Stars are in an incredible position to win four straight. To go to Vegas and win one game to advance. I'm not sure that anyone would have looked at it from that perspective, heading into OT of game three with the chance of being down 3-0 in the series. But what I would say is, to this point, the better team has prevailed. And I don't just mean on paper, I mean on the ice. The Stars have, I think, controlled large stretches of this series and play. And they've shown some incredible fight to just sort of shrug off a 2-0 series deficit when you lose both games at home to start the series, that I think they're not just in the driver's seat, but have an incredible opportunity now to sort of relatively make quick work of the Golden Knights and gear up for a juggernaut that's waiting on the other side in the Colorado Avalanche. At least that's what they looked like in round one against the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, you've said this on a handful of shows. We've discussed it here. This has not been the electric first round that we're kind of used to in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But when you look ahead to what could be coming in round two, whether it's the Stars or Golden Knights against the Avs, that would be incredible. Oilers Canucks, potentially, if Vancouver can finish it off tomorrow night in Nashville, that would be a great series. And the other thing, too, is we come to the end of round one, or we get closer to the end of round one, it does have the potential to end in with a spectacular finale, because if the Toronto Maple Leafs win tonight, it's game seven Leafs Bruins on Saturday night. And that would be a hell of a way to wrap up the first round. That series is going back to the six, Frank. And tonight, game six, no Austin Matthews again for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Sheldon Keefe confirming this morning that they will not have number 34 in the lineup tonight. Granted, they won without him in game five, but Frank, You can win once without your best player. Can you win twice in a row against this Bruins team without Austin Matthews in the lineup? It's a tall order.
It's a tall order, and you can. Jeremy Swayman, by the way, starting for the Boston Bruins tonight. It'll be his third consecutive start. And here's the big question that the Toronto Maple Leafs have to ask themselves as they go around the room. Who's going to be the guy? Is it going to be you, John Tavares? Is it going to be you, William Nylander? Is it going to be you, Bobby McMahon? Doesn't matter who it is, but someone needs to step up for the Toronto Maple Leafs because they cannot score. 9 goals scored in 5 games, 4 out of the 5 games this series. You have been limited to 2 or fewer goals, and the best goal scorer on the planet is now out of the lineup for the second consecutive game. The deck is stacked against them. They've got enough talent to compete, but they've got to show more than just Joe Wall bailing you out in game five and enabling you to get to OT and win. His goals saved above expected, sparkling. We talked about how much he meant to that team in the game five win, but it can't all be on a young netminder. He needs support. He needs goals. The Leafs can't win without scoring. Period. End of story.
Yeah. And that's a great point. I think there are some encouraging signs if you're the Leafs. One of them, you mentioned it, Joe Wall, 970 save percentage in this series, spectacular save in overtime. The other one was that trio of Marner, Domi, and Bertuzzi actually looked good. And Mitch Marner looked motivated, and he had his best game of the series in game five. You know, just getting Mitch Marner from what he was for games 1 through 4, getting him up to a level in game five does kind of cover a little bit of what you're missing in Austin Matthews in terms of the offensive side of things as well. The combo of Tavares and Knies could give you a spark. Like, I don't know, there are reasons to be optimistic still. I think if you're a Leafs fan, the other thing, just purely from a selfish talking about this series on the show perspective, Frank, I want that game seven. And some of the stories that would be leading into game seven, you know, obviously there would be, is Matthews healthy enough to go? The other one, if you're the Bruins and you lose tonight, what do you do between the pipes for game seven, man? Like,
it's not even between the pipes. What do you do between your ears? Because you blew a 3-1 series lead last year against the Florida Panthers in round one with arguably the best regular season team the NHL has ever seen. So this year, if you blow a 3-1 series lead and get to game seven against one of the worst game seven teams that we've seen over the last 2 decades, how does that work? Who has the advantage then? Are the Leafs in the driver's seat, or because it's in Boston and that tough environment? By the way, Matt Larkin, great story on dailyfaceoff.com today about the home ice disadvantage that the Leafs have had. They're 7-14 in the 8 years since Austin Matthews and this crew began playing playoff games in Scotiabank Arena. 7-14. They're 1-8 in their last 9. How's that possible? Someone please help me make sense of that. Nonetheless, here they are. Opportunity. Backs against the wall without the best goal scorer in the world to force a one-game winner-take-all game seven where you have the ability to make the Boston Bruins think. until we get to that point, I don't know that the Bruins are really going to be feeling the heat.
I would like Frank doing the thing in GIF form for future use, please. We're going to get your top 50 free agents list in a little bit here, Frank. But first, I want to throw a new segment your way. Smoke or fire. You basically have three options to the headlines I'm going to give you. Is it just smoke? Is there legitimate fire? Or is it a false alarm? Is there nothing to read into? The first one we're going to start with, Rod Brind'Amour's future as the Canes head coach. Smoke, fire, or false alarm?
False alarm. I'm going to say...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Is Rod Brind'Amour unhappy with where things are at right now? Probably. Is Tom Dundon pulling some levers behind the scenes? 100%. Is this an annoying, drawn out process that no one really needs? Without a doubt. Will Rod Brind'Amour be the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes next season? I'll be absolutely floored if he's not. I'm trying to think of what I could offer to the listeners to have them understand exactly how strongly I feel about that. You ate cat food. I'll eat a stick of butter on air if Rod Brind'Amour is not coaching the Carolina Hurricanes in October.
Timestamp that. Thank you. Second one I got for you. I've been kicking myself because I kept meaning to ask you about this throughout the week, so it is a couple of days old. Sean Couturier changing agents, Frank. Is that smoke? Is that fire? Or is that nothing, just a false alarm?
I think that's smoke. I don't think it's fire. It's abundantly obvious that Sean Couturier wasn't happy with John Tortorella and the way this season played out, being a healthy scratch 34 days after being named team captain. I also think that he probably wasn't thrilled that his agent went public and made comments as all of it was happening. Typically, when that happens, the agent has full permission to do so from the client or player. I don't know if that was given in this case. And I think that also exacerbated some of the issues. So what does that mean moving forward? Is Sean Couturier making a declaration that he doesn't want to play for the Flyers anymore? I don't think that's the case. And Sean Couturier also happened to hire a new agent in Pat Brisson, who was the agent of Flyers GM Danny Briere. So my guess is that they find some way to have cooler heads prevail. And not to mention, I just don't know anyone that's taking that contract anyway.
Yeah.
Not with the injury history and not at full price.
Yeah. I think that's a really important note as well. Just while we're on the topic of the Flyers, I'll throw this one to you quickly. I keep seeing on Twitter or X Flyers fans talking about, there's some talk about Michkov. Is Michkov coming over early? Is there anything there?
Not to my knowledge. I think the Flyers are... they'd love to get their hands on him as soon as they can. I don't think that a path has presented itself yet for them to be able to essentially buy him out of his contract and make that happen.
Fair enough. All right, let's move along to our big segment for the day. It's a new edition of Icebreakers. Icebreakers is fueled by Booster Juice. Download the new Booster Rewards app today to start earning berry points for delicious and nutritious smoothies, drinks, and food that will get you through the day. And because this is a Frank Saravalli-themed segment, it's fueled by the Strawberry Sunshine flavor at Booster Juice. With the Warrior Boost in it, our insider, our warrior, Frank Saravalli, has his top 50 free agents list out now. Frank, you can read the full list at dailyfaceoff.com. There's a couple really interesting areas I want to hit on with you. Starting up near the top of your list, there are three players who it feels like they're going to stay exactly where they are. Sam Reinhart in Florida, Jake Gensel in Carolina, Steven Stamkos in Tampa Bay. If you had to pick one that could, there's a sliver that they end up leaving their current home, which one is maybe the most likely to go somewhere else?
Probably Jake Gensel. I think we've seen a real reticence from the Carolina Hurricanes to pay market value price. He is 30 years old. He's been a perfect fit, fits like a glove in Carolina, and they've been missing a game breaker like him. And I think that's a, you know, a pretty big reason why. You look at the betting odds, they would imply today on Bet365 that the Canes have a 60% chance to advance to the Eastern Conference Final and beat the President's Trophy winners. So to me, I think he fits well, but look at what's happening with Rod Brind'Amour. There is no better fit, franchise icon, and they're grinding him to a stump. If you're doing that to your franchise icon and unquestioned good head coach of the arguably the NHL's most consistent team over the last 6 years, what are you doing to a newly acquired player who's 30 years old and needs a massive new contract?
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. Between Stamkos and Reinhart, is one of them more of a lock to stay in the Sunshine State?
My money would be on Reinhart next. I just think it makes too much sense. And yes, I think the big question is how much will the Florida Panthers be willing to pay a premium for a statistical outlier season? 57 goals, 94 points. William Nylander signed $92 million. He had 4 more points and 17 fewer goals, $11.5 million a year. I've been saying all year, can't we just have 8 times 9.5 for Reinhart? Look at the Florida state tax and see that 9.5 is worth 12.4 in Toronto and say, hey, this is better than Nylander's deal. Let's lock it up and get it done and get it over with. I think if it were that simple, it already would have happened. I don't know what the hangup is, but it's a fascinating case because he had such a fantastic year and is such a good fit with Alexander Barkov that I just can't envision a path for the Panthers to let him walk.
How would you feel if you're Alexander Barkov and like you had all that chemistry with Huberto and then he goes, I know you got Matt Kachuk back in that and not like he's complaining, but then again, you find chemistry with Sam Reiner and it's like, okay, oh, now he's gone as well. One guy who does feel like, you know, reading the tea leaves is could be on the move is Jonathan Marchessault. I know yourself and Jason Gregor this morning on the DFO rundown talked about this and Gregor kind of said like, as soon as they got Hurdle, it felt like it was a signal to Marchessault that we might be moving on from you. Is that an accurate read of this situation?
It's just a mathematical read of the situation. I just can't look at the Vegas Golden Knights cap table with the addition of Tomas Hertl, with the new extension for Noah Hanifin, even with the cap space that's being added to the team, all 32 teams this summer, $4.3 million in additional dollars. The Vegas Golden Knights have basically spent a big chunk of that already. So then you have Marchessault have this incredible 42-goal year. How do you say goodbye to one of the original golden misfits who's won a Stanley Cup and been to a final and was such a big, it's not just won a Stanley Cup, such a big part of the run to the Stanley Cup. It's tough to envision the Golden Knights without him, but I just can't see the math working to keep him. So unless he's willing to take a massive hometown discount, which also doesn't really make a lot of sense for him, as someone who got kind of a late start in his career and has money to make up, so to speak, he's going to probably need to go after every dollar that he can. And I just can't see that happening in Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, that is fair. The cutthroat way of the Golden Knights continue.
I was going to say that's one thing that I so admire about Vegas is it's incredible to be as aggressive as they are in acquiring players. You can go out and get Eichel and Pietrangelo and all these different guys that you've brought in along the way, now Hanifin and Hurdle. But on the other side of that, that means that you have to be just as aggressive in making hard decisions to push players out the door, whether it was Stastny or Marc-Andre Fleury or Max Pacioretty, or then now the latest example last summer was Riley Smith after winning the cup. You have to make really hard decisions. And this is probably in the long run, even though it might hurt next season, but for 34-year-old Jonathan Marchessault, timing-wise, this probably makes the most sense that you decide to cut ties with someone at that age while you got the best years out of him.
Yeah, I mean, nostalgia aside, who would you rather have at the six-ish million dollar range, Tomas Hertl or Jonathan Marchessault? The answer is pretty simple to give, and I commend the Golden Knights for being able to just, again, put loyalty to the side at times. Last one I got for you in terms of your top 50.
By the way, I would say I'm not sold on that either way. Like, I might take Marchessault over Hurdle, but we'll see.
Last one I got for you. When you look at your top 50, is there one player who's maybe, you know, under the radar, a hidden gem somewhere in this list that you think teams are going to be, you know, maybe going a little bit harder after than the public is looking at?
Yeah, I would say number 11 on the board, and that's Matt Roy from the Los Angeles Kings. There are always a shortage of right shot defensemen. And more than that, Matt Roy defends really well. And he's south of 30. He can give you some points, not a ton of incredible offensive upside, but he's so efficient in his own end that I think whoever targets Matt Roy is going to be in a great spot. And you look at his minutes, almost 21 minutes a night. He's just steady. He's not going to wow you, but I think he's going to be a great pickup for someone. And I can already tell, listening to teams size up the market quietly behind the scenes, Matt Roy is a name that has come up multiple times already to this point.
This just popped in my head, but it's like steady, right shot, D-man, defense first. And if the Oilers look to upgrade on Cody Ceci this summer, which I think they might, boy, wouldn't that be quite the funny signing. When you look at the top 50 in general, Frank, like when I was scrolling through the whole thing today, when you sent it to me, it was like, damn, this list goes pretty deep. There is some high-end talent. There's a lot of effective players. If you had to like grade this free agent class compared to other years, where would it kind of fall?
B plus, A. I mean, it's pretty close to as good of a class as we've seen in a while. It's deep. The only thing about this class is that it's a little bit older. Most of the guys on the board are north of 30. And that's the one thing that stands out when you see a Steven Stamkos at 34 or a Marchessault at 34, like we just talked about, Joe Pavelski at 40, Patrick Kane 36 or 35. Like, these are all really talented, impactful pieces, but for the most part, they're a little bit on the older side. So I think there's a lot of value to be had in this class further down the board, whether you're an Alexander Carrier type of guy, you know, to add on your back end, or a Brendan Dillon. Like, there's all sorts of nice pieces that I don't think you have to spend an absolute arm and a leg for. And I think it's really going to line up for certain teams pretty well that are in varying stages of what they're trying to build. I think of a Calgary, I think of Utah, and I think of other teams that want to be more competitive, that aren't going to be big game hunting, that would like to try and find a way to improve their team through this free agent crop. And I think that's going to be one method to do so. 2 and 3 year deals in the $5 million range, you're going to have a lot to pick from.
Yeah. All right, that is a wrap. The full top 50 is up now at dailyfaceoff.com. This has been Icebreakers, presented by Booster Juice. Our Daily Faceoff inbox question is brought to you by Douglas Mattresses. They're handcrafted in Canada, ensuring the highest quality materials and fastest delivery to you. You can order today at douglas.ca/DFO. And right now, every mattress order comes with a free comfort sleep bundle. That's two memory foam pillows with pillow protectors, one luxurious cotton sheet set, and one mattress protector free with any mattress order. Head to douglas.ca/DFO. Shay dropped this one in the YouTube chat nice and early. Frank, does the lackluster or the lack of energy, lack of excitement in round one of these playoffs, does that change your opinion at all on the NHL reconsidering the playoff format?
No, because for the most part, the first round has been electric the last number of years. And I don't have the math right in front of me, but I think the 1-8 matchups in this case would be somewhat similar to what we ended up getting. That said, I think one of the NHL's big problems is that the first round has been great and the interest and excitement has waned in the next rounds. This year, I said it the other day, the second round could be one of the best we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Rangers, Canes, next level. If it's either Stars or Golden Knights and Avs, unbelievable. You could have a Canadian matchup in Edmonton and Vancouver, and then say nothing of either Boston, Florida or Florida, Toronto. I mean, you really can't go wrong with any one of those four series, and they're going to be all really good.
Yeah, it could be an absolutely electric second round. In years past, it feels like the NHL after round one kind of wanes off and then picks back up towards the end. This year, it could be kind of the opposite, a steady climb as we go through.
Yeah, I would disagree. I'd say it goes starts real high and goes like this.
Stays down.
And I think this year it's going to be a nice slow burn to get to. Think about how good the second round is. The third round might be even better. Yeah. And then that could produce an electric cup final. So I think that's what you want if you're the NHL. So I would say you don't want to change it.
Yeah. Let's move along to our daily bets for the day. It's brought to you by Bet365, the largest sports betting platform globally. Open an account with Bet365 and use the promo code DAILY365 to bet on a huge range of markets. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Tonight, Frank, two picks I like. Leafs are 4-7. I believe. I think it's going to happen. I've also had a pretty hard time betting on this series. I think I've been wrong on most of them, but I like the Leafs on the money line. If you're a Leafs fan, me saying that could very well be the kiss of death. But I also really like Max Domi over 2.5 shots. He hit this mark in the last game with no Austin Matthews in the lineup. And I know some Leafs fans were frustrated with his lack of shooting on some 2-on-1s, but he still hit this number and we're getting plus 125. So I like Max Domi to hit his shot prop again. Also last night, heartbreaker on the puck line front. Oilers give up a goal late. Leon Draisaitl's beelining for the open net. Gets hooked from behind, and it wasn't technically a breakaway, so that he doesn't even get the goal.
What was Jim Hiller complaining about after that hook? Like, it was a clear, he kept yelling at the official. Maybe he felt like they missed something before that. I don't know.
So Victor Arvidsson, too, just being in the arena after the game ended, he was over screaming at the officials about it, letting them hear it. And I'm assuming it was about that. Maybe it was about the officiating as a whole, but tempers definitely boiled over a little bit for the Kings at the end of that series.
Yeah, and I get it. By the way, Arvidsson, he's a really interesting free agent on that top 50. I have him at 33. 15 points in 18 games this year, significant injury history and question marks, but no doubt an impactful piece.
Yeah. Let's wrap up the show with a little bit of garbage time. It's brought to you by Wendy's. It takes hard work and determination to bring home a cup. Luckily, all you need to do to bring home some lunch and maybe get some free food is download the Wendy's Rewards app. What are you waiting for? Download the Wendy's app today. Start earning on every order. Frank, garbage time today. Wanted to give a little hat tip to the Masterton finalists in the NHL. This is one where, and this is an opinion a lot of people share, it'd be nice if maybe they just said, hey, these are the 32 nominees and they're each team's winner. Picking one often feels a little odd, but I will say out of this trio, Oliver Shillington definitely stands out.
So my commentary on that, this award is our baby at the Professional Hockey Writers Association. We tell these guys stories all year long. That's how you end up knowing about Connor Ingram and his battle with mental health and Oliver Shillington and his story and Freddie Anderson and the return from blood clots. They're all amazing stories. Basically, being your team's nominee means you are their Masterton winner. So that part is kind of unsaid. And we do announce all 32 nominees. It's hard to pick one or hard to order your ballot, but that's like saying it's hard picking the Hart Trophy this year. Like, you just do what you think is best and you move on. And it's funny in this case because the stories were so good that I didn't have two of those guys on my ballot. My first place vote went to Jonathan Quick because I don't think the Rangers win the President's Trophy this year without Quick. And he was left for dead last year. He was traded for a seventh round pick, was a healthy scratch, won a third cup in Vegas, I guess technically, but never contributed to it. And he had a monster year and bailed out the Rangers at a time when Shesterkin, you know, struggled for a bit. And then two, I had Jonathan Drouin and his, you know, sort of open battle with mental health, leaving the Montreal Canadiens. He's another guy that no one really expected anything of, barely signs a league minimum contract in Colorado, reunites with Nathan MacKinnon, and has a 50 plus point season. You know, we missed him in the first round of the playoffs this year as a result of an injury suffered late in the season, but these are all tremendous stories. And my point is it extends well beyond the finalists, who are all deserving in their own right. And so glad to see a lot of these guys. Sometimes it's a comeback from injury or illness. Sometimes it's a comeback from poor play. And so that's also part of it too, that I think, you know, you don't want to go after just the sort of, you know, most gut-wrenching story, so to speak, that there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, fair enough. And I guess, you know, the other part is picking one winner gives a chance to really amplify one story as well, which is usually a good moment at the NHL Awards. We went very, very late today, so we are going to wrap this up. Tomorrow on the show, John Goines is going to swing by with a new edition of the Coach's Room, and we could have another series coming to a close tonight with the one game between the Leafs and Bruins. Enjoy the hockey tonight, everybody, and we'll be back tomorrow, noon Eastern.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with 4 questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.